Okay. Episode 65, Gabe Hutchins.
Action.
How about that?
Is that good?
That's good.
All right. Hey, we're back for another episode. Episode 65, in fact. As always, we got Gunny Matheson, Joe Schmidt, and our special guest tonight. Fresh off level 3 championship, co-championship of the NRBC.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, congratulations.
Good times.
Thank you.
Good
times.
On my horse. I bought her.
That's right, yeah.
I bought her a couple years ago.
Gunny's wanted that mare for a long time.
I bought her a couple years ago. He just hadn't sold her to me yet.
Hadn't changed the papers over.
Yeah. No. Yeah, I haven't paid for her, but I can't. I tried to explain that to him, but...
He's done that with to me before too. Yeah. He likes to buy them and then not pay for them for a long, long time.
Yeah, but that's okay. But he's upfront about it. If you can do it,
that's right.
It's the best way.
Yeah. He's upfront about it.
That's right.
It's not like he writes you a bad check. He just says, "That's what I'll give you, but I'm not going to pay you."
Sure. Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah.
I mean, kind of like plane tickets to Las Vegas for some of my buddies.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that check. I got to pay him back for a plane ticket. And then you had to bring that up here, didn't you?
Well, I thought I'd get it recorded. Maybe you'd get a reminder next week when you watch
the
episode.
Did you bring my Spurs, by the way?
Oh, shoot, I forgot.
Yes. Anyway, let's go back to Gabe.
Yeah, Gabe's here.
So tell us about your mare that you won the level 3 on.
Yep. Spook's got a whiz out of Tari's Designer Jeans, 5-year-old mare. Just she's been pretty darn solid for me. I did good on her last year at the 100X as a 4-year-old. Actually, I showed her out at the Cactus and couldn't stay out of the penalty box. So I didn't get qualified there, but I was able to stay clean. I got her in the finals. And she, actually, for me, the run that I had in the finals is probably the best run I've ever had on that mare. Even though I've marked higher on her in the past, it was, for me personally, the best run I've had on her. I think she's still maturing. And still, I think there's still more there yet. So,
yeah, that's not the first time either that lately it's been happening more. So you didn't make the level 4 finals.
Right.
But you came out of the afternoon session. And that's happening more and more where level winners are coming out of the afternoon session. And, I think, there was 5 horses. Wasn't there just 5 level 3 horses in the finals? Yep. I think that's never happened before.
I personally, Arno Honstetter was draw 1 and he was level 3. And I called her and I said, as soon as Arno's done, I can load up. I'm going to head out of here. I mean, a guy like that on a good horse, I figured he would sneak around me right off the beginning and I could load up and go home. And we got by that one. Then all of a sudden we're right down to the end. I'm like, man, I can't believe this, but I think we're going to hold out here. So
I actually thought I was surprised to see Dwayne was level 3 on the 1-1 Cactus on.
Yeah.
And I thought he was going to take the level 3. He had a little bobble right off the bat and then was good. But
And I actually, for me, it was you're talking about, making the finals. And I showed the second day of the go-arounds. And so I got up the third day and I looked at the level 3. And I think I was 23rd place. And I looked, there was 48 horses still to go in the third day of level 3. I took my back number off. I threw it in the trash. I put my saddle in the back. I mean, I packed up. I'm going. And sure enough, the third day, I had to dig my back number out of the trash can. Luckily, it was still there. It was in the corner there. I mean, it was kind of one of those horse shows anyways. I mean, the odds of 48 horses not marking over what I mean, I thought for sure I was out.
But it wasn't easy to mark. There was a lot of high scores, but you had to be good to mark a high. Like you had to be real good to mark a high score. Yeah. I mean, if somebody came in there and had a bobble, and to me that was a little bit of difference between, which made it even harder for. So it was you, Ruben, and Dwayne that were co-champions.
Yep.
And I think it was, I think if you and Ruben run it during the level 4 finals, I think you mark a little bit higher. I mean, I just think that's the nature of the game,
for sure.
Especially
when you look at the horsepower that ran in that second section.
There was a lot of good runs.
There's some great horses. So for sure, if you get in the middle of that, you're going to get caught up in that for sure. I agree with
you. Everybody had a bobble. It seemed like there was no one horse that went through it just stellarly clean.
Yeah.
And there was how many 225s or higher? 7, 8, 9?
Yeah.
I mean, it was deep.
horsepower. It was unbelievable.
It was a
horsepower
deep,
is just
deep
crazy.
Horse show.
Yeah.
And weather was good when we went. At least we didn't have to deal with no tornadoes.
That's right. Yeah, we got by before it got bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. How bad was it up there? You guys kind of sat around. And
it wasn't
waited.
Bad. It wasn't bad. And we were safe. We were in the RV. And I guess that's
that's the place to be.
You're good.
Yeah. There, yeah. If you're outside in a vehicle.
Yes.
Like a large vehicle.
Yes.
A lot of signage.
You know, for me,
on the side.
Saturday night after the finals was over, I went back to the bus and I said, I'll see you guys in the morning. And Lucio and McKinnon were there loading in the morning. They said, oh, yeah, I think it was like, I don't know. They said what time it was. They got up and it was shaking the camper and this and that. I didn't hear nothing. After being there for as long as we were, I'm pretty sure I could have woke up another state and I wouldn't have known that afterwards.
Yeah, right.
I was tired.
Yeah. That, you know what, though? That was a I've heard a lot of good and bad about that horse show. No, not bad. Just differing opinions about the schedule.
Somebody complained to you about something.
Very, very, very few complaints. Probably the fewest complaints I've ever heard. Because, I mean, you could give out $100 bills to everybody that entered, and they'd complain if they weren't brand spanking new.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
Hey, mine's got a crease in it. What the hell is this?
Yeah.
So,
I want a new one.
Yeah.
Get some.
So you're always going to get complaints.
Yeah.
But this is probably for sure the least amount of complaints I ever heard. And the schedule was, I heard a lot of people came up to me out of the blue, unsolicited, and say, hey, we love this schedule.
Oh, yeah.
And we were there for 4 more days probably than normal, which is something. I mean, I get it. Even the people that complained about it or didn't love the schedule because of the extra days,
right.
I get that. I mean, it's a long time to be away. But, I mean, we weren't just burned out. A lot of times by the finals at one of those majors, you just want to get it over with and go home.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, and that wasn't really the case this year. Everybody was pretty fresh. You know, I usually don't have a drink at a major horse show.
Yeah, time.
I drank every night.
Yeah. I know. I don't know how many days we end up being there. Was it 12? I was there from pretty much the beginning because I had a non-pro that showed the first day of the non-pro.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was there for pretty much all of it, but I only had one day that I was there late. Otherwise, I came my normal time that I would go to the barn at home, and I was done by the time I'd normally be done at home. So, I mean, for me, I didn't change anything. I enjoyed it. Were we there longer? Yeah, of course. But, I mean, I enjoyed that part of it for sure.
And I think it's good for client-trainer relations. Clients come and be able to spend a little time and,
It's all rushed.
Yeah, and not just client trainer, because a lot of times our clients, they spend enough time with us at home.
Yep.
Client relationships, you know, that they get to see other people that they haven't seen at the horse show, and you know, there's you know, a lot of my clients have friends that don't live around here that are in the business, and they you know, they go there and they get to go to dinner and they have drinks and they have fun, and at the end of the day,
I think that's
how you grow the business.
Yep.
You know, I really think that's how you grow the business. But for sure, the upside was a lot. Now we're home for, 2 weeks?
Yeah. I don't think it'd have seemed that long if we didn't have to turn around and go to a horse show in 2 weeks. And we just got home from one.
Right before that.
Yeah.
And then we got another one coming up after the one and two. I mean, that's kind of where our industry's at.
Yeah, right and now. We just got home from one. Right before the one that was right before
Yeah.
I mean, we went to Tulsa, and then we went to the Cactus, and then we went to the NRBC, and now we're going to the 100X.
Didn't Cade go to Florida, too?
Cade went to Florida, too.
Yeah, so he's been
even more. In the American real quick.
Yeah.
Threw the American in there.
I mean, by the time you do that, he did that. He was gone for a week, pretty
much. I might go to the 100X for the slide contest, but I'm not going to go show anything. I don't have any customers that are going to show.
You got one for the slide contest?
No, but I think
just
gonna,
to watch.
I'm going to dig one out and find one. Oh. You know what my plan is? Don't anybody steal my idea. I want to get a full Mexican Charles Reynon suit.
That's what I thought about. Oh,
that's awesome.
And I thought about
the
that.
Suit.
And
the
do
suit.
That. Do that in the hat and do that sliding contest and slap your thigh. I mean, it's about style, too.
Yeah. No doubt.
I got a horse for you if you 25 minutes from
you,
where that horse
okay,
show's
going to
be.
Okay, now this is my next question, right? Okay? You know, do you think they could, you know, drum up a Mexican charro soup that would fit this?
Oh, yes.
Absolutely.
Like, yeah. In a respectable amount of time?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to take a bit.
Like, do I have to go to Mexico to get it?
They're going to have they're gonna have to kill two Mexicans. Get a suit big enough.
Split the backs off of them and sew them together, boys. We'll make it fit.
Two? Only two?
Oh, man. Yeah, well, maybe too wide, too tall.
Yeah. Couple of Jose's.
Yeah. Well, I thought about that, but that'd be fun.
Yeah.
I was, you know, I did that. I did the charro thing in Mexico City one time, and they measured me for the suit and the hat and everything. And I never got it. I was real disappointed in that.
They didn't have enough material.
This is about Gunny, not about me when we're talking about that.
They do.
I ain't got it right, man.
There is.
Mucho.
There is some larger Mexicans, okay? I mean, haven't you ever heard of Julio Cesar Chavez? I mean, he was a little guy, but he was a big deal.
Hey, I think these guys.
Bigfoot over here, they bombing old snowman.
They were charging by the centimetro. Oh, big boy. This goes mucho dinero for me.
They get off track talking about themselves and talking about me.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry, yeah. But that was...
I really don't
know. But no, I remember you said you were going to get it made, and it just never came to fruition.
I had it ordered, and I think, like, the guys that I went down to visit, they put us up, and I rode their horse and went and did the thing and the whole, and they got me all measured. And I'm sure as soon as I left, they called the guy, the tailor, and said,
no. I know Tom's got some spurs on the chair I could borrow there.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Look at them bad boys.
Those are from the guy.
Those are my charro spurs right there.
That was from the guy, right?
We call Jose Vasquez, I guarantee.
How about those? Those are nice, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to use them.
I told...
Guarantee Jose get you hooked up.
I'm going to talk to him.
I told Senor Goni, who had those spurs, I said, I like those spurs. He took them right off his boots and gave them to me.
I've done that
before.
I said,
hey, your girlfriend ain't bad either.
I've done that before. That's no big deal. I've done that before.
I didn't go the same. Yeah. But my wife was there, so that's, you know, probably killed that deal.
Just a small minor detail.
Yeah.
Details.
Details.
We get sidetracked sometimes.
Yeah. So what was it? Slide contest. You're not showing at the 100X just a slide contest.
Yeah, well, now that I got a horse to do it on, can I do it on my mare?
We can talk about that.
It's only one stop, right?
It's only one stop.
Yeah. It's just one.
Are you going to show one in the slide contest?
I don't know. I have the Electric Enterprise mare that I've shown some last couple of years, and we had
the bay mare.
The little brown mare.
Yeah.
And she can really run and stop. That's always been her big trick. And we thought we maybe going to retire that mare, and we got done breeding on her pretty early this year, and I told Susie, I said, I can't, that mare's sound. I can't let her stand. So we started legging her back up, and I thought about, damn, I don't know if she's quite ready, but it'd be fun to take her because she would be.
How many are going to be in that thing?
In the slide contest?
Yeah.
200.
I'd say 200.
$1,000
standard. I'm thinking just everybody's going to
There's going to be 100 at least.
It's $1,000 standard. There's going to be 25 horses in there.
Yeah, $1,000.
Everybody knows that Downright Amazing is going to win or something Casey Deere is riding. Everybody knows that he can chunk a stop and they still plus one.
So it's $1,000. Yeah, I didn't realize
that might
it
keep
that much.
That might
I could say that on
bit.
Camera, can I?
Well, you'd say it. You'd say it in person. It so no, you're good.
Yeah. $1,000 might keep him.
Yeah, I was thinking.
But
that.
I was with.
I think a bunch of people would just try because it'd be a fun class.
I'm gonna try.
Yeah. It's been a long time ago. Perry, Georgia had a slide contest, and that was back when Charlie Smith was running Jack Picnic for a world title.
Oh, yeah.
And I have never seen a horse run that fast in my life, nor slide that far.
But that was based on
length. It was distance, just like this.
This one was based on length. I think you'd get more people entered if it was based on length, since it scored.
Yeah, yeah. The judging part.
And so and they're splitting it up like...
I don't know. I tried looking on the website to find the rules exactly, and it just says it scored like from like 1 through 10 system. Yeah. I don't know how many judges are scoring it, but
so you think length is more important than style?
I absolutely do. my oratorical skills would say they think that length is better than style. Yeah. Huh.
Yeah. Well, I think it's girth.
That sucks for me.
I'm pretty sure. I think that's the whole thing now.
Gabe, I don't know if they clued in, but we kind of went off the deep end on a few of these shows.
I've seen most of them.
Okay. I was prepared. I mean, we get sidetracked.
No, we're good.
Yeah. So
what are we talking about?
We could be standing here promoting Tamarack Ranch. But that's right. You were for Tamarack Ranch.
But let's do that. Let's go back. Let's step back just a second. So you worked in Oregon.
Yep. Joseph.
Joseph, Oregon, yep. Which I know because I've heard all the ads and the horse shows.
Sure. Middle of nowhere, Oregon.
Right. Yes, very much.
Grass is amazing.
Hard to find. Beautiful.
Super beautiful.
June, July, and August, not a better place in the world to be.
Really? Yeah, well, you moved to Texas for June, July, and August.
Yeah.
You could have done better.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah.
That is a mistake.
It's the other months. Like, they just, I was supposed to go up there right before the NRBC, and they had a foot and a half of snow the week before, and I think this week they just got another 6 inches. This time of year can be pretty rough. It comes and goes, but I mean, so the 3 months, it's the other months. It's pretty rough.
So what prompted the move from Oregon to Texas?
When we first went up there, we kind of had a plan of when we sat down with them, we kind of had a 10-year plan. That was the plan, that we would stick there for 10 years. And I think we ended up being there 7. Susie Seymour that we worked for wanted to make some changes, and so we decided how we were going to kind of disperse everything. And originally, actually, Susie and I bought property in Scottsdale, Arizona. When we moved to Oregon, we sold our place in Whitesboro, and we bought property in Scottsdale. And we had thought when we were going to move from Oregon, Scottsdale would be the place we might go. And we never really dreamed that we'd have the chance to acquire all those mares and take the breeding program from what we started working for her. And so when that came about and she offered that to us, we couldn't do that on 9.5 acres in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Right.
We can't raise babies on that. So there's only one other place I'd go. We lived in Texas before, and that was always, I think, home to Susie and I. I know it was home for my wife more than it even was for me. So when we had the opportunity, we're really fortunate we were able to sell our property in Arizona and buy a property here in Texas. So that's what prompted it. I mean, I don't have to tell you guys, North Texas is Reining Horse. It's where you need to be.
No doubt.
Your property's still sitting there empty, too.
Yeah, they haven't done a thing to it.
I was staying at Jesse's and it borders his place. That was Gabe Hutchins. Oh, man. And you look at the mountain that I never would have sold. It's beautiful there.
Oh, it's beautiful, yeah. Yeah,
but for running mares and babies, it's not going to happen.
On 9.5 acres. No,
in the desert.
It wasn't.
And I'm a I like where you are too. I like Texas because it's got trees and green grass and hills
for
and,
sure.
And that's the one thing for me. I don't mind visiting Scottsdale, but to live there, I mean, everything's how do you get to Gabe's house? Well, you go to the brown building and you take a right and you go down there to the other brown building and you take a left and
past that cactus and
there's another brown building on the right yeah,
and it's a little redder shade of brown.
it's not the light shade of brown
I love Scottsdale,
gonna be a little bit, but I love it. I could live there tomorrow.
Yeah, I think Mandy could too. She likes it. Cade likes it.
We enjoyed going out there,
but I grew up in Wisconsin with hills and trees
I like
North Texas. I really do.
For sure.
I mean, it's a son of a bitch in July and August. It's for sure.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know that.
You can work around it.
Yeah. You've been here before.
Yeah.
And your Tamarack Ranch is now in Weatherford?
Burleson. Yeah, just south of Fort Worth.
South Fort Worth.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about the 100X there from Will Rogers. I think we're about 25-30 minutes.
25-30 minutes. The people that want to lay over coming from Arizona.
That's right. Oh, yeah.
Tamarack Ranch, call Gabe Hutchins.
If he
doesn't answer his phone, call Gunny. He'll
set it all up. He's my agent.
How many acres do you have there?
We bought 100 acres there. Yeah.
That's perfect.
Yeah, it's. I wish now that we would have had the funds to buy 300 acres.
Right.
When you're raising horses, there's never, I don't have to tell you, there's never enough room.
Yeah.
And I guess we didn't really realize what kind of opportunities were there. We'd been gone, and been out of the, you know, kind of out of the loop, really. And Susie and I didn't realize how much opportunity is there to raise horses for other people. Had I had known that opportunity was there, I'd have bought 300 acres. But we just didn't, we don't have the room, so we're kind of restricted.
Our property's booming in the Burleson area, too.
It is. Yeah, it is.
It's going to be big time.
It is. Yeah. Yeah, it's even, I mean, we've only been there 2 years now. In the short period of time we've been there, land value is
crazy.
300 acres means that when you're ready to be done, you don't have to work anymore.
Yep, yeah. For sure. Yep.
Yep. No, I told, that's...
And it's we like the area a little bit just because it's close enough to you guys, but it's also, we're pretty close to the airport, and that's been nice for us, and we like the area a lot.
Yeah. How far are you from the airport over there?
We're at 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And the nice thing about it is you can come the back way. You don't have to go down 35. You can come on 360 and come down on the north exit from the airport. But it's close.
Yeah. And how many mares do you have there?
Well, I think we bred, I think right now we're 22, 23 mares that we're really still focusing on. That, you know, we're still trying to breed between 25 and 35 foals a year. That's kind of been our, that's been our magic number for us, that we feel like we can manage it the way right. we want to and keep our quality up.
Man, I wish I could get that many mares.
Yeah. You know, it's amazing for us. If you look back on when we started really going after some really good mares and trying to buy mares for that program, if you would try to do now what we did 7 years ago, even if somebody gave you an open checkbook, I don't think you could do it.
Yeah,
not acquire that many. I don't think you could do it. I mean,
that's like, you know, we've had this conversation. That's like when Tim McQuay sold out.
Yep.
Nobody knew, but if he'd have waited two more years, I mean, he'd have made a shit ton more money. Yep. Because it really took off in that, you know, in that span of time. But who knew?
Right.
I mean, there's no way. There's nobody saw it coming.
No.
And yeah, the broodmare business, raising babies. It's the way to go right now. And you've got great mares, and you can't afford to. Really, the hardest part right now, and I think the NRBC finals showed the disparity? Yeah. Thank you.
Oratorical.
Linguistics.
Disparity. The disparity in horses when so there was 17 riders in the L4 finals, and most of them had multiple horses.
Right.
Obviously. So, and with only four level three guys in there, to me, I mean, that really shows the disparity in horsepower.
Yes.
From the level four guys to the level three guys. And even if you want to, if you have unlimited funds, if somebody walks up to Gunny and says, hey, we're billionaires and we want to get into this, let's go buy the best mares that we are, the best show horses that we can buy. Three-year-olds.
I'll sell them every horse I have.
But the problem is,
all the best. These are all the best.
Yeah. The problem is, if they want to play at a high level, you can't even buy them, no matter how big your checkbook is.
No,
you can't even buy them unless you just get, you know, ridiculous.
Yeah,
that's the hardest part.
You're gonna have to go buy young stuff and build them. I
mean, so the quality of mares that you have and the studs that you breed to.
Yep.
And you know, we were talking earlier. You were telling me that, and I thought this was interesting. You know, we were all talking about how great the 100X is for the industry and what it's done for the industry.
Yes.
As far as adding value to horses, more money, more prize money, all of that.
Yep.
But you said you still breed the best studs to your mares, whether they're in the 100X or not.
Yeah. I think one thing, I don't know. I guess it goes back to what Susie and I, what we built this program around, and it's always been quality. And I feel like we go to what sire I feel like fits my mare the best. I mean, whether it's something that's in fashion or not, for us it's been, I guess the nice thing for us is a little different is a majority of those, there's only been a few mares that I haven't rode that I may not have shown him, but even Miss Wiz Dunnett that I bought from you and Mandy, I rode that mare. She was great sound. Could have still shown her if I wanted to, but I was able to ride her a little bit and had a pretty good idea of what she was. But some of those mares, I've been able to ride them, so I have a pretty good idea of what I think would fit for those mares when it comes to crossing them. And so that's, for us, it's more of what I feel like is the right cross than if it's enrolled in something or a part of a program. It's just kind of been our philosophy from when we started to keep our quality where we think it needs to be.
Yeah. And that's a great point, because the great ones are, they're going to sell because there's so many places to go and, you know, they're going to sell.
Yeah.
Even though, like I said, I mean, I think the 100X has been a good program. The Invitation has been a good program. Yep. I mean, we try to support all those with our studs, but I think you're right. And I think that's good, because my concern is the narrowing of the gene pool. You know, if you're only going to breed to
those. It's narrow already.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's funny when people's like, oh, man, that must be so much fun to breed those mares and figure out what stud you're going to breed to. And then you sit down and you look at your papers and your long list all of a sudden turns into three studs, a short list that you can even breed a mare to the way she's bred. And
you got a daughter, a gunner out of a daughter of Hollywood Jack, you're going, or Hollywood Dunnett, excuse me. You're like, this gets tough.
It does. It gets real tough. So yeah, I think you're narrowing it down even more.
Yeah. You got a gun or anything crossed with Smart Chicolina, it's pretty hard to find something to breed to too. I mean,
And we've tried to do a little bit. We always try to do one or two a year that's completely out of the box. Tried some cutters, you know, try to get some new blood in there for us just to try something different. And a couple of them worked, a couple of them haven't, but we're still trying to, you know, come up with something different.
It's a home run. If somebody comes up with an outcross, it's a home run.
Oh, for sure.
Somebody goes and wins the futurity on something that's bred completely different than what we have.
Yep.
It's another, you know, it's a, like, remember when I was a kid when Doc Barr came into the picture, you know, I mean, he was just all of a sudden, if you didn't have a son of Doc Barr, you weren't going anywhere in the cutting horse
business. Where does the outcross come from now? There is no outcross. It only has to come from Europe now.
No, not necessarily. Not necessarily.
We're not going to start breeding pleasure horses.
No, but I think there's some cow horses that shown the ability to go have a great run.
I mean,
I know
for us, we the first one we did was Stevie Ray Vaughan, and that mare we still, I think she's six this year, we're still showing her. That mare isn't like this great level four open horse, but she was reserve and a level two futurity as a three-year-old. And that mare, to me, is great-minded. And that horse, Stevie Ray Vaughan, I think, is a good enough mover. I think that's the hardest part, is finding some of those cutters. Right. Because we've gotten to the point now, if you have an average mover, you're not getting marked anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only thing that sets you apart anymore in the circles. They all can run plus half circles, but can they run fast and lope and change leads like a Western rider?
Yeah.
So that's why we kind of went to Stevie, because that horse, he could have been a reining horse. You could have done every one of that. Yeah. That's a great individual. And that mare actually is probably out of her mother, probably one of the best movers we've raised out of her, bred to a cutter. So I think that horse, if there was ever a son of Stevie that would make it in the reining pen, it would be, and maybe it's not him, but that was one that we really felt like that horse could have made a reining horse if that's what they wanted to decide to do with him. They could have.
He had a lot of stop.
Beautiful mover. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's going to take a little bit of, I mean, it's going to take a special individual, because that's the hard part, is like we've talked about this before. That's the hard part, is the cutters. They want their horses to anticipate every move, and we want our horses to anticipate nothing.
Yes.
And that's to try to find that outcross. And I don't know where it comes from. I don't know even know if it's possible.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if we just keep.
I don't think it's possible. The reining is too good now. You used to be able to take a cow horse. Todd Bergen done it several times. His best snaffle bit finalist and make the open futurity finals on it, or be second in the open futurity. Yeah. But you can't do it now
anymore.
No way.
Too specialized.
Yeah, for sure.
Too tough.
I agree with that. For sure.
They'd almost have to quit the cow horse on them after their 3-year-old event. After their 3-year-old year, they'd almost have to quit cow horse and exclusively show them in the reining.
Yeah.
And then they'd have to pay him in all the programs to promote him to be a stud, to get people to breed. I just don't.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're talking about it up there at the NRBC. It used to be back in the day, and this is taking nothing away from Tim and Bob and Bill and Craig Johnson and those guys, taking nothing away from them because they were ahead. They were the top of the heap at that point.
Yep.
But those guys at that point in time, if they stayed on pattern, they were making the finals. I mean, that's all they had to do because they were so far ahead of everybody else. Well, now, if you have a little bitty bobble, you're not making the finals.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many good guys. There was, so it took a 21 and a half to make the finals. I marked a 21 and a 20 and a half, a 20, I think, a 20 on my other horse. And the 20 was 56th.
Yeah.
And a 21 and a half made the finals.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's like you have
that's a that time penalty.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all it is.
Yep.
For me, it was just a little bobble and a rollback. I mean, it's just that simple now. I mean, there's so many good guys. That's... And you sit there and practice. You're sitting there at night watching every horse run down and go, plus one, stop, plus one, stop, plus one, stop. You're going, geez Louise.
Oh, yeah.
Turning huge. I mean, it's just, I can remember. I've been around long enough that I can remember when a guy would show up with a special horse, and it was the special horse.
Oh, for sure.
There's no special horses anymore. There's
so that being said, you give me your input on this too. What's a horse worth that can mark a 219?
I think a horse that can mark a 219 that anybody can ride,
a gelding,
I think is worth
a lot.
150 to 200,000, depending on what it looks like, because
if anybody
there's
can
such
ride
a market anybody, for that.
But a 219 was 68th place or whatever in the open go round. I mean, okay,
but depending on the 219,
I understand that because my wife marked a 219 and we wouldn't sell that horse for any amount of money.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Yeah. But
that horse that you showed, that you marked 19 on, watching it, looks like if you wanted to put the guy sweeping the floor at the fairgrounds on it, he could probably mark a 219 if you showed him.
Maybe at the beginning of the week, saying, but not by the end of the week.
I'm saying no.
I don't think
he
so.
He looks pretty broke.
Yeah,
I don't think so.
But
that's my point.
But my point is,
Monica's horse marks a 219, and you wouldn't take 500 for.
Right.
Right.
And the horse you showed marked a 219 because you showed it, and you're very good at that.
Yes.
And not anybody else, in my opinion, could have marked that on that horse.
Well, I think they could. He's not that.
Well, I mean, I probably could have. But
I mean, you could. You probably could have marked a 20.
That's right.
But.
And still missed the finals.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Still been worth the save.
That's my point, though, what is a 217 and a half horse worth?
I don't think it has anything to do with the score. I think it has to do with the horse.
I think right now, a horse like that, we don't have enough of them.
Right.
With where our industry's at right now.
Okay. But you're saying a horse like that, you go out and buy it, you're still not winning.
Well, why would I go spend $150,000, $200,000 on a 219 on a 73 horse?
Yeah.
Whenever it's not going to win me any money.
You wouldn't as a level four open rider, but you would as a non-pro, because that's gonna win you a consistent large paycheck in a non-pro class.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, that's where 80% of them end up anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I was just curious because it just seems like in the open finals, you see 227, 226 and a half, 226 and a half, 226, 226, 225 and a half. I mean, you saw 10 of them that screwed up and marked a 25 or a 26. I just was curious as to what y'all's thoughts were on them horses that mark 19s. I mean, really, are they worth that much money?
A 19 horse.
Well.
Used to make the finals any day of the week.
Everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't think, I don't. That's a tricky question because I don't think that those scores were necessarily indicative of those runs.
You saying they overmarked me?
Or not you.
I knew it. I thought they did too, but I didn't want to say it on camera. I mean, I wasn't going to say it to anybody.
What are we doing? They overmarked you.
No, I'm saying in the finals, I don't know that, you know, they maybe were on a little bit higher scale in the finals, but then they were in the afternoon. I think some of those runs that...
I think yours and Ruben's run was pretty fantastic.
If
and
you guys run it...
There wasn't very many flaws in it.
If you guys run in the finals that night, those are 24 or better.
I know for me
I saw a couple runs that marked higher than a 24 that weren't as good as your runs, in my opinion.
Yeah. I know for me it was, like I said earlier, that run for me was... one of my better runs for me personally, because I actually stayed out of the penalty box and did my job for once. And she did everything she could have done. I mean, so for me, it was a personally pretty clean run. I was pretty happy with it. So
you're in the penalty box a lot. Like, is it usually turning somewhere?
It is. Absolutely. Okay. That's my,
it's going to lead to the next question, which is, do you have like a go-to person that says, Hey, Gunn, will you come whistle for me? Make sure I turn full.
No,
turn?
I don't. I guess
so. It doesn't get in your head.
No, it doesn't get in my head.
We have a friend that it does get in his head a little bit. Not to name names. He has turn penalty issues, and he needs somebody to come whistle for him. That's all I'm gonna say.
I don't know. I guess I've always been
keep the truck clean.
That person. I don't rely on anybody else. But that's just been always one of those. Especially on this mare. It's just been the right spin. I had a 1 point overspin at the Cactus.
She turns good.
She turns good. And I just, and she's always a little more intense when you walk through the gate than she is outside. So that little bit of extra, I just.
And I'm going to buy her baby. What's her baby again?
She
Magnum?
Just, yeah, had a buckskin Magnum filly. That's the first.
I'll take it.
NRBC. Yeah.
Susie says she wants 22.5 for it. Sold.
Ooh. So how do you market your babies?
They just say they're not for sale, and you just go buy them from them, and you never pay them.
You know, it's funny because you could probably tell me better than, because you've been doing this a lot longer than I have, but when we first started, I would have never dreamed of selling weanlings. Mm-hmm. And that seems to be like, we sell more weanlings.
It's a thing now.
It's a thing. Yeah. And I guess it's because people are trying to get ahead of people buying yearlings. I mean, we try to market those weanlings, social media. I mean, and I think
so. Somebody calls you.
Yep.
They can come down, walk through your pasture.
Oh, absolutely.
And they can buy like everything for sale.
Except for the buckskin,
all the ones that you owe.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Sure. Yeah, all the ones I own. Yeah. The ones my wife. Owns. If my wife owns it. Maybe not. But no, I mean, for the majority of them, yes. I mean, there's always been. There's always been a couple that I'll just tell you, for example, when we bought Tari's designer jeans, we went through a spell. We had 9 stud colts and we had 2 fillies. That mare that I should, the buckskin mare we're talking about, has never been for sale because that mare is getting up there in age and we wanted some fillies out of her. And we had last year, we had a buckskin gunner filly out of that mare. And I know that we probably turned some people off, but I need that mare for the future. I need a replacement for Tari's designer jeans. And so that's one that hasn't been for sale. But a majority of them, yes. If you come down and look at our horses, they're for sale. I mean, that's what we.
If I go down there and you got one that is not for sale, it's more because you want to replace what you have in the broodmare band than it is for actually going to horse show.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about to go. Buy another set of mares like that can never do. I'm gonna have to make some.
Yeah.
And so I gotta keep replacing those mares somehow. And the only other part of that we have done that I think has helped us a little bit is some of those mares, like Red Hot Walla, for example. The first few that we had out of that mare, there was only one that we didn't start, and that's the one that Addie Schmerzel shows. Craig had that horse from the start, and it's been a great horse. But everything out of Red Hot Walla, we started, and I rode at least through the 2-year-old year, and some of them we rode and showed as 3-year-olds. And that mare, we kind of got her kicked off and made sure that when we did sell them, we thought that it was the right place for those horses. And now that mare, she went over 300,000 in produce earnings at the NRBC, and she has maybe 6 foals showing. Wow. So I think that mare could be a big time producer when it's all said and done, but we kind of tried to manage those first couple to make sure that, because you know as well as I do, if the first 2 or 3 don't really hit a lick, they're just horses after that. So, but no doubt. Majority of it, they're all for sale.
Yep. Yeah, no doubt. Because there's been, I mean, we've had several mares in our industry that were superstars.
Oh, yeah.
And then we didn't, you know, at the end of the day, they didn't produce a lot.
Yeah, for sure.
And yep. We've had a few of those. I remember a guy at one point called me and he was so excited because he brought Wimpy's little steps mother. And he said, hey, I bought this mare and I want to send her to you. Will you keep her and just partner with me and all the babies? And if you know, that mare produced Wimpy's little step.
Yep.
And that's it.
Yep.
I mean, there wasn't anything else. And Wimpy's little step was a superstar. I mean, that was a good horse, amazing producer. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's every once in a while, everything we know about breeding gets thrown straight out the door.
Sure. That I was really lucky to be. I worked for Sean when he had that horse as a 3-year-old, so I was pretty fortunate to be around that horse as a young horse. And then the next year, we had a full brother to him, and it was a different story.
Yeah, you know? That horse only ever got beat one time.
Yep, I know. Tradition,
little gay star Peppy.
I know the horse. Absolutely, I know the horse.
That story I miss that tradition.
Yeah, every time I get a chance to throw that story out.
I miss that paternity. The story that was a good horse show.
Yeah, I was a state champ back in 1972.
I used to throw that ball 90 miles an hour, right. Had a curve ball or break off the table.
Yeah, that's what you do when you get old.
That's right.
You do a podcast and then talk how good you used to be.
Yeah, that's what you do. That's right.
How hard is it to make a broodmare? I've heard you talk about this. You think it's borderline impossible.
I think they make themselves.
Yeah.
True statement.
I don't think you can force anything.
Yeah. No.
No. Because even if, so in our situation, I'm fortunate because I think we have a pretty good program as far as the training goes. I think I have in Mandy probably the best non-pro that's ever thrown a leg over one. And you can manufacture some statistics, but people understand that you're manufacturing some statistics. Mm-hmm. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, if a mare's had 5 babies or 6 babies and she's produced 100,000 and we've trained everyone and Mandy's shown everyone and they won 20,000 a piece and that's how she got there. Still a good mare, but not as good if somebody you never heard of in Iowa had that mare and they had a non-pro that you never heard of that's taking it and winning all that money. And that's a different story. I mean, so I think the mares, they produce them. They make themselves because, and one of the problems I think that we run into is, and I think it's, I don't know what you do about it, but taking your babies to, like you were talking about marketing, taking your babies to the legacy sale or the fraternity sale, you have no control about where those babies go. And a lot of our really good babies have gone to Mexico.
Yeah.
And we have no idea.
Yeah, you never see them again.
See them again. Yeah.
We have no idea what they could have, would have, should have been. And that's, as a mare owner, I want to put my baby in those sales because we all have to raise money. There's none of us have another job. I mean, we all have to sell. If we raise 20 babies, you got to sell 10 of them to pay for the other 10 and to keep the whole thing going.
Yep.
And you can't just sit there at the horse sale and go, yeah, you can't buy them and you can't buy them and I'm going to protect. You just can't do it. So that's a bit of the issue.
Yeah.
And going back also to what you said about selling weanlings, I think that started about 2 years ago. We started seeing people bring weanlings to horse sales.
Yeah, for sure.
And if you're sitting there, it's a phenomenon that I do not understand, but they will bring as much as the yearlings. Yeah. You take all the risk of the weanling of the yearling year getting sick,
but don't you think people in our business spend more money on potential than what really is?
Absolutely. Oh yeah, of course.
I mean, they buy a dream.
Yep.
I mean, you have to. I mean,
you hope that the one that you got, that's the one. Because I saw this guy. It happened to this guy over here. It was his first try, or like what's his name?
But that's Brian. The whole world. The whole world's a dream.
Yeah.
Sure I mean, that's everybody. You don't buy a $150,000 car because it gets you there any better, quicker than a
$50,000 car. It gets you there better.
maybe quicker.
Maybe louder.
Maybe a little quicker.
Okay. Yeah. So that was a bad example.
Yeah, it wasn't too great.
But it still gets you there,
right?
Is my point.
Yeah.
Right.
And everybody has the dream and has the expectation. And even if they buy... If they go buy one out of your best mare and it's a yearling or a weanling and they give $100,000 or $200,000 or whatever they give for it, they are excited about it right up until it does or doesn't work. If it does work, they remain excited. If it doesn't work, they get rid of it and they had 2 years of excitement hoping it would work and then it didn't work. They get rid of it and then they buy another one. And then they're excited again. Because I don't think we have any more the people. When I was growing up, there was a lot of 9-to-5ers in this rein and horse business. There's not anymore. The guys that, when we talk about the NRBC being 2 weeks and, it's hard for people. All my clients work. They have their own businesses. They have their own money. They have their own. They can do whatever they want
to
do.
They want to go to horse show.
Yeah, they want to go to horse show. They can go to horse show, and I know that's not the case with a lot of non pros, but with guys owning open horses, that's pretty much. Wouldn't you say that's pretty much the case?
Yeah.
I mean, it is what it is, and I know there's. We always see on Facebook, the old timers that. Are bitter about, we can't buy a great one anymore for, $20,000 and we can't afford. It just is what it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's supply and demand and there's a lot of money out there. Also, when they were buying those horses cheap 30 years ago. Okay. When I was the leading money rider, I can't remember what year, 100 years ago, 2002, maybe 2001. I won $130,000.
Right.
I mean, when Cade was the leading money rider 3 years ago, he went over $900,000.
Yeah.
It's a different world.
Two guys won over $800,000 last year.
Yeah.
Two guys.
Yeah.
And I think the cut, is it 30 or 35? I can't remember what it is.
35.
35 right this year was $99,000. It was 100.
Yeah.
You won a I think that was the number.
Hmm. Yeah. No,
it's just different.
It's a whole, it's a different world. There's
more I'm going to be level 4 only next year.
It's a way to think.
Predicting it now. Buddy.
That's right.
Got some good 3-year-olds. Predicting it now.
It's the way.
I mean, I don't have one. I don't have one out of his buckskin mare, but I'll get one.
That's right.
I'll get one.
I'm rooting for you. Will you sell me one of those 3-year-olds?
Yeah. I told you I would. Huh. I'll give them to you.
I saw them at the NRBC. They're
pretty good.
Yeah.
I'll give them to you.
He says that, but then he won't. After you leave, yeah, we turn off the camera. F*** you.
Yeah.
No, and it's then, not. Whoops.
No. Wow.
He'll beat you. No. Wow. No,
that escalated.
Didn't drop my best 3-year-old off at his place 1 year, did I? Didn't do that at all.
That's not the one you're talking to Cade about.
Right? No. Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, I might be giving it to
Yeah. You're talking about Super Mario, but you gave that horse to Cade. Not me. But that's fair.
Next one's all you, buddy. Next one's all you. I got him through this year. I got him. It's all yours.
I don't think he even meant to sell that horse to Cade. I think Cade just...
I didn't want to sell him a horse. I dropped him off and said, tell me what you think. Tell me if I'm stupid turning the money down. I didn't want to sell him.
Yeah. And I watched Cade lope him around and ride him that day, and I said, he's not leaving.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then Cade had a Freddie Brassfield stepped up and bought him. And
yeah.
And then Brenda Joyce bought him from there, from him. And then Brenda was just like you were talking. We got the opportunity to buy Super Mario, yep. And it was just actually it was just a great. It was a really good customer that was just giving us the opportunity because they thought it was the right thing for that horse to be. I couldn't afford to give what that horse should have cost,
yep.
But it was a great client saying this horse needs to be there.
Yep.
And when I talked to Cade about it, I said, so we can buy this horse for this amount of money, or you can sell this horse. There's five different people that want to buy him. You can sell this horse and make a big commission. What do you want to do? Cade says, I want to walk by his stall every day.
Yep.
I mean, that was...
Sure.
That was how that decision was made.
Yep.
I mean, so we bought him just for that reason.
Yep. That's... He's part of the family.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And every day he walks by his stall, yep. He stops and pets him on the head, you know?
Absolutely.
Man, you got to cue the music. Like, cue the music and, like, some...
Are you tearing up a little?
Dude, I'm getting a little, little emotional. Like,
dude, I almost saw a downright amazing video with the whole family.
Me too. I saw Cade walk by, stop, lean over, embrace Mario, and then in the corner, in the clouds, she's singing. Oh, yeah. Dude, I just
sunlight
like,
rays coming
through. Dude, like my heart, it's warm now.
Yeah. Well,
dude, I got this video. Keep going, bro.
That's going to be our next video with me and Cade out there just washing him off.
Yeah, do that.
Dude, I'm sorry, Gabe. Very rarely do any of these shows really revolve around our guests anymore. Yeah, we just get sidetracked. Yeah,
it's all good.
Oh, that was awesome. No, good fun. Good fun. Hey, so
I did tear up a little.
Back to the slide contest, Jack Pickenick. Where was that?
Perry, Georgia.
And what were you doing down in Perry, Georgia?
That's when I worked for Sean Florida. And we used to go to Perry, Georgia for they used to have they called it Dixie Futurity. That was like probably one of the first fraternities we go to in the years, like a June or July fraternity. It used to be a big show.
Everybody wore the jackets at Thor shows.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. And they had a slide contest there. And I can't remember. Brian Bell had a horse in it that night too. And Mike McIntyre. I don't remember what horses they. I just remember that Jack Pickenick horse the year that Charlie ran him for a world title and watching him run through that gate on that thing. It was.
Some of those, Richard Pecluda reminded me when we were talking about slide contest that the Pete and Tamara Kyle party.
That
was always fun.
And every year, C. Blair Sailor won it.
Yeah.
I don't think I remember seeing C. Blair Sailor.
I don't really either. Uh-uh. I think he's making some shit up there.
No, that's what Richard told me.
Who showed him?
Huh. Yeah.
I don't know.
Where was he? There's no. There's I don't remember any year.
That's wrong. Yeah. That's wrong. No, I don't remember him being there one time.
Area?
No.
I didn't think so.
No, and neither. No.
You sure?
Yes. Because I remember that horse, and I went, he didn't show up at the Pete Kyle party.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to have a fact check on that. We'll get back to you.
We always spit nothing but the truth here. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that was some bad information.
That would have been exciting to see.
Because I showed in that a couple times, and I do not remember Sea Bear Sailor at all.
No,
you didn't.
No.
Did you ever win it?
Yes.
Are you sure?
No,
I don't remember. No,
no. But I think
God.
I don't know if I won it or not. But I do remember getting drunk and making cheeseburgers on Pete's grill in his house.
No.
And
that was back when we partied.
Yes,
I mean
that was always a good party.
God,
always.
That place was fun. Always.
Oh my
God, that was such a good party every year.
Such a good party.
I mean, all sorts of shit happened.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Dude, I can't remember. If that's not the horse, I can't remember what horse he told me, but there was one horse that won it every year.
Huh. Yeah, not that horse.
It was some other older stud, you know,
wasn't Tejon's Peppy Dog, was it?
Probably.
Yeah, he was there. Yeah. But I don't know if I remember him being a good one that won.
No, I'm just glad though that everybody else got to experience Gunny just making shit up.
Yeah,
because we have to deal with it all the time.
Sea Blair Sailor, just right down the road.
Yeah.
Yeah, slide contest, 86, all myself. Yeah.
Every year.
Yeah, every year.
Shipped old Sea Blair Sailor in from, you know, Maryland.
Yeah.
I could have sworn that was the horse.
No.
Oh, my God.
Shoot.
Nice, Gunny.
Yeah. Well, I told you I know everything there is to know about everything. So.
Yeah.
It's my oratorical skills.
Yeah. Your linguistics.
Yeah.
Man, it's hot in here now, you guys.
Well, I don't think the AC ever came on.
No. AC's not working.
Yeah, that's not good.
No. I just put on a sweatshirt because it makes me look thinner.
Yeah.
Right? Is it working?
You should try flip-flops.
Yeah.
Flip-flop season again, everyone.
Yeah. I'm not proud of my toes.
Yeah.
Kind of go.
Yeah, oh, I'm not allowed to wear flip-flop. My wife doesn't allow me to wear flip-flops either.
No.
She gets you dressed up just pretty. Every horse show you look
You always are starched up, cowboy hat.
Like, do you is go full starch or do you go light on the starch? Like, what kind of starch?
Gotta go heavy. I do heavy, bulletproof, stand on its own.
What do you, like, do you do heavy or
light? Light. Really? Yeah, I freaking hate punching through the legs.
No,
and
not
pants.
That bad. There's some places that do like, it so much.
You need
much
to bring
they
an
stand
air compressor
up.
With no. you just to pump air.
Yeah,
into
no,
things.
I don't like that. But the pilot point, you do heavy, it's fine. You go somewhere else that they don't know how to do it, and they do heavy. Yeah, then they're standing in the corner.
I do light starch. Sometimes no starch.
Really?
I won't starch them.
Really?
I hate starch.
Yeah.
Makes my nipples hurt.
Well, yeah.
Dude, you're talking about your nipples and your toes. This is enough, man. Jesus.
But you're always looking crispy. She picks out your wardrobes, doesn't she?
Yes, she does.
Huh? Oh, yeah. That's good.
You never had that happen with
a
starch
shirt?
Them
on,
no,
like,
I put it. I have
before.
An undershirt
okay,
on.
Gabe, you're going to wear this.
Yeah,
that
makes sense. Each one has a number.
You don't wear an
Monday,
undershirt?
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Which one to put on first, second?
Yeah, yeah. You put the pants on first. Right. And, yeah.
Right. Don't you? You wear an undershirt for your show shirt, right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Undershirt all the time.
Yeah. What the fuck?
You don't
the first time you're hearing this, right?
No, I used to, and then I lost weight, and I feel like I don't have to anymore.
No, like an undershirt, like a Under Armour.
I know what you're talking about.
It keeps you from sweat protruding, though. You don't wear one when you show
I don't,
up.
He doesn't sweat.
You don't wear an undershirt, though.
I don't sweat. No. I never sweat, no.
But you don't wear an undershirt when you show.
No.
Well, you could save your nipples if you did.
Yeah, I know. That's what I just told him.
But I won't get them starched hard for that reason. Because I don't.
Oh, so you go light starch on your shirts then?
Mandy does, yeah.
Yeah, what kind of starch do you get on your shirts when you order it? I'd like to know that.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. How much does it cost you to get one shirt starched in 2024?
Yeah. It's, I don't know.
So he has no idea.
Yeah. I don't know. But yeah,
couldn't tell you that either.
Yeah, no, I don't like starch, the heavy starch, though.
Yeah, I don't like peeling pants apart, dude. That's just
not that bad.
Because
it's depressing. You get out of I lay in bed an extra 10 minutes if I have to have heavy starch pants and work my way through them.
Really? So you go heavy on the starch, too?
Yeah, but like crispy? I said, Moores knows how to do it. There's some places you go heavy, and I've, like, cut myself on trying to get in my jeans.
Yeah.
But, yeah, because on, like, cinch, that wears out pretty fast. It's not like they... They super stiff.
All right. Well, I'll try heavy starch again, but dude, I'm gonna be pissed off.
Would you do heavy starch in your shirts?
No.
Oh,
no,
see, I do heavy starch in my shirts too, right?
But these guys,
dude, see, he
plus size doesn't go heavy starch.
They like to poof them out to make it look bigger.
Well, no,
they gotta hold that shape.
No, if it's a big guy reason, then
plus size don't go with the heavy starch.
I'll back off and I'll like, I don't know anything about being that big.
No. You don't.
Come on, tell us about your Casey Hinton days. Come on.
Yeah. No, I don't. I'm not that big. So if there's something you guys are dealing with, then my apologies. Okay, do what you want.
It's not cool to fat shame people.
No, that's what I don't want to happen. Okay, I want to avoid that as much as possible. Yeah, no, keep doing light starch. You guys got it.
Mandy will take some stuff. We're in the, we got the RV, the bus there, and we got a washer dryer in there. She just washes my clothes all the time. I will wear the same pants every day.
Your fat pants.
If I don't have to.
Oh, man. He was so let down right there.
Yeah.
I know what he's talking about. I mean, They're all technically the same size, but they're not.
No.
There's
no.
a pair you set aside that are a little looser.
Yeah. So you wear the same. It's clean pair of pants.
It's hot in here.
Like them. No, I just like them soft. I like them smooth. I like them soft. I don't like the whole starchy thing. I mean, I heard somebody say they starch their pants heavy because they don't ride up their boots bad when they're riding.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. I always thought my pants ride up over my boots and you can see my socks. I just thought it's because I rode bad.
No, I think that's part of it.
That's part of it. I didn't know if I could starch them harder. Let's give them to me harder. Starch.
Oh shit! This has been one of my most fun episodes. Oh, just observing.
Yeah.
I mean,
I've heard the riding Joe's bad talking. Thing. You said that before.
Yeah,
right.
So that's
I think I grip with my knees.
Yeah. No, I think that's what happens. You grip with your knees and then they ride up.
Yeah, they ride up, and it's embarrassing. When I'm at the horse show,
it's embarrassing.
And you can see my
Have
white.
Have you ever heard somebody do a Christopher Walken impersonation? It's embarrassing.
Do that again. Wow. Yeah, no,
that was
great.
Pretty good.
Yeah, that was great.
Wow.
That was really good.
Yeah.
Well,
awesome.
Anyway,
yeah.
On that note,
go to the show,
Gabe. Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks for
appreciate you coming, man.
TamarackRanch.com.
Yeah.
Gabe Hutchins.
Yep. Call Gabe Hutchins if you want to buy a good Wienland Yearling.
What's that mare's name that you showed that you won all that money on? That my mare.
TR Designer Jeans.
TR Designer Jeans.
Yep.
We're gonna buy her. I guess we're not.
Partner. Not for sale.
NFS.
No, not at this time. Not unless you're going to buy all my mares and I get out of the business. Otherwise, I got to have her.
All right.
We'll work on that.
Yeah.
Go get your flip-flops. We'll throw the show.
All right. Thanks, everybody.